Three reasons top brokers find more mortgages than you. In this episode, I'm going to share with you three reasons why top brokers find more mortgages than you. And it's not just because they get more leads. They actually fund more. If you were to get 10 files and they get 10 files, they're going to fund more of them. And I'm going to give you three reasons why that is. And I'm going to get into some tactical stuff on this today. So hopefully you find this useful. Hi, I'm Scott Peckford. This is your 10-minute tactical podcast I do every week. I'm excited to share with you some of the insights and tips that I've got from being in the mortgage business since 2006 and coaching hundreds of mortgage brokers. And I just love these episodes. Before we jump into this episode, I want to give a shout out to our title sponsor, Finmo. Finmo is a Canadian mortgage application, document collection, submission platform designed specifically for Canadian borrowers. It's very easy to use. It's got some cool features like smart docs. It knows what documents your client needs based on the app. It's got smart submission notes. It pulls key data from the app. And it's connected to Lender Spotlight, which is the number one tool for searching rates and guidelines. Check them out at lendesk.com/Finmo. All right. So why do top mortgage brokers find more mortgages than you? Easy for me to say. It is not, and yes, they get more leads, but they also run their businesses differently. Like the, if you were to put that top mortgage broker was doing the same volume and the same lead flow as you, they would close more of those mortgages. And it's often the little things that we miss and we forget. So the first reason is that top mortgage brokers do not waste time on non-committed clients. They don't waste time. So often I see people, especially in our Facebook group, we got 10,000 mortgage brokers and they're like, oh my gosh, I lost this file. This is terrible. I wasted all this time. And it's often because the person did not get them to commit. And so what do I mean by getting, there's two checkpoints that I think of that when it comes to committing. First is credit check. So if you have a client saying to you, hey, you know what, this sounds great, but I don't want you to check my credit because they want to go out and shop and talk to a bunch of people, they're not working with you. They're not committed because they're going to wait to the last possible minute and decide. That would be one. The second is documents. So if they don't want to give you any documents, they're like, hey, I just want to give a rough idea of my numbers, you're not working together, right? And so I'll give you a couple examples of this. So one of my mortgage buddies who was a 100 million year producer, and he always used to say, I'd give anybody 15 minutes of my time. But if at the end of that 15 minutes, if they're not willing to let me get an application and pull credit, we're not working together and I will waste no more time on that person because this is not a file. But so many people, especially newer brokers or brokers that haven't learned this, they'll spend all kinds of time on this thinking, I just got to win them over. I got to make them love me. They're not going to love you. They didn't commit. They may come back to you, but they're going to break your heart. It's not worth it. Another guy who does this really well is Jim Tralucas, right? He very much controls the clients. One of the things not only does he make sure he gets a credit check, he also asks for a copy of their credit card for the appraisal up front. So imagine getting it's hard enough to get, you know, the credit check is something people are resistant to give. Credit cards are even more. If you want to try to test somebody, if everybody says that, if you have an idea to sell something, if you want to test this, go say, I got something I want to sell. People say, yeah, I'd definitely buy it. You say, give me your credit card. You'll find out how many of them are actually serious about giving you their credit card how serious they are if they give you the credit card. And so Jim puts that in there. It's a filter. And so people who won't do that, he's not even going to waste his time on. The guy's doing hundreds of mortgages a year. It is not worth his time to chase after these folks. Yes, the market's slightly different right now, but you still have to have a standard. Just because the market's difficult or more challenging doesn't mean that you should have no standards, because then you're still wasting your time and you're better off to go out and find more of the ideal clients. So first is credit checks, obviously documents. And also, like, if you keep in mind this, like RBC has a policy, at least they did. I talked to a friend, one of my friends was an RBC specialist, and they had to have all docs up front to submit it to their underwriting department. All docs, not just like some docs. And so many mortgage brokers will spend so much time with only half of the information. And so you're going to spend all this time with only part of the information. They told you what they think their income is. But of course, the documents don't always say what they think. And then you spend all this time trying to make this thing fit. You finally get the documents from the client. You're like, oh my gosh, this is not, now you got to rewrite the file. I was at a lender summit and I talked to a senior manager of underwriters. She manages 100 underwriters. They do a ton, like billions of mortgages. And I said, what is the number one time waster that working with mortgage brokers? And she says, hands down, income. Because if income is off, they have to rework the entire file sometimes. The TDS changes, the GDS changes. And so if the person's not committing to you, they're not giving you documents, you're not working together. Plain and simple. And so you're going to have to work on your discovery call. You're going to have to work on your lead source. You're going to have to work on your communication, but you have to get that down or don't waste your time. Move on, say next. So that's the first thing that top brokers do. The second thing they do is they understand the client is actually the lender. I know this is going to sound a little, you know, trippy in your head, but two of the top mortgage brokers that I know, one guy does, you know, 500 mortgages a year, and another one does 100 to 180 million a year. And I said to them, like, what do you, like, how are you getting so many mortgages funded? Because it's one thing to get leads. Like, you know, if you get good at the leads part, but you can't get mortgages funded, you're still going to struggle. But they've understood that they work with their lenders and they treat them. And so what they said to me is they say, Scott, I do their job. I do as much of their job for them as I possibly can. And that may seem like, well, that's what they get paid for. No, no, no. I think we both get paid if the mortgage gets funded. And if I'm an underwriter, the lender, and you make my job easy, and I've got a stack of files on my desk, and I see your file, I'm going to pull yours out, and I'm going to get it done and turn it around. So as much as you want to do their job for them. And so that is a, you know, for instance, Jim Talukas, one of the things he told me is that, like, if he's on a call with a client, and he deals with Scotia a lot, if he's on, this is crazy, this is going to sound crazy. He's on a call with a client, and his underwriter from Scotia calls, he will put his client on hold to talk to his lender. Because he understands that my lender is the one who gives me yeses. The yeses means that I can help my clients. So help my clients means I get paid. And I have never met anybody, any broker that I've ever heard of. And maybe you're listening to this would say, Scott, I do that all the time. I would say hat tip to you, because I have not hardly ever met anyone other than Jim. I have not met anyone other than Jim that's actually that does this. And he gets, I know for a fact that there are files that he gets done at Scotia that other mortgage brokers that working with that same lender can't get done. I have another friend who does about $80 million a year, and he had a file. He couldn't get it done at Scotia. He sent it over to Jim. Jim, they did it for him. There was nothing funny in the file. It was just that there was two reasons they did it. One, they have a ton of trust with him. Two, he does a ton of volume with them. Two, and three, it makes their job easy. He makes sure that the file, like, they want layups, right? Just like you want layups. If you're a mortgage broker, you want to eat as much as possible. You want to get as much of the documents as you can. You want to underwrite that thing. And so the second part is you want to, so part one is don't waste your time with non-committed brokers. And so the policy is if they don't commit, you don't submit. That's the line. You burn that into your brain. Remember O.J. Simpson, if the gloves don't fit, you have to acquit. Well, this is kind of like my version. If they don't commit, you don't submit. That was the first. The second one is the client, the lender is actually your client. And ask them how you can do their job for them. And if you want to, like, a hack on this, call up your favorite underwriter and say, hey, look, I got a question for you. I want to find more mortgages with this. More mortgages with you this year. What are your top brokers doing that I should be doing in my files? They're going to say, oh my gosh, thank you for asking. Use this type of template when you're submitting documents. The other thing is that when you send to a lender, what you see on your side is often not what they see on their side. So they see something completely different sometimes, or it's, you know, and so it's not like you can go, why don't they see what I see? Because they have a different system. They don't see what you see. And so have the conversation with your lender, ask them, what are the top brokers doing? What that I should be doing, and think of yourself as, if I do their job for them, I'm going to make more money and I'm going to help more clients. The third thing that top brokers do is they always drive the bus. What do I mean by that? I mean that the client has a destination in mind where they want to get to. You as the professional are the driver of the bus. If they say, hey, I want to grab the steering wheel and drive the bus for a little bit, they will always crash it every time, and it will always be your fault. Because you let them take the steering wheel. And what do I mean by taking the steering wheel? It means breaking your process. Let's say you have a process where you're like, no docs, I'm not going to submit the file without your documents. But a client says, hey, look, Scott, can you help me out? Look, I'll get it to you, I promise. I'll do this, this. They make you all these things. You go, okay, sure. For you, I'll break my policy. I'll break it for you because, you know, I'm trying to help you out. It always blows up in your face. And if you don't believe me, just think about this. If you've been brokering for any amount of time, how many times has the files that we do for friends and family been the worst files that we do? And it's because we have most of the time, if you're good at this, you have a defined process. You follow it, you know, you follow it very closely. And then a friend or family member comes in and you go, you know what? I'm just going to, like, wing it a little bit because they're my friend or family. And all the experience degrades. And it often leads to, like, oh, that kind of sucked. And so you do not let them drive. They don't know where they're going, right? They don't understand the mortgage marketplace. And if you've been a broker for more than a year, you've already forgotten more than the average client knows. They only do this once every 5 years. They don't have a clue about how this works. And so you need to understand that you are not an order taker, but you are going to have to ask questions, uncover their problem, and then make suggestions based on what their goals and needs are, but you don't let them drive. And I've had times when I was brokering where I get on the call with clients, okay, this sounds great. Here's what I need next. I need this, this, and this. And they're like, well, I don't want to get you that. Well, I'm like, well, then we can't work together. And they're like, well, I don't want to get it. Is there any other way to do this? I'm like, no, there's not. Okay, well, thanks. Have a nice day. Click. They got on my bus and I dropped at one spot and I dropped them off at the very next stop. I'm like, okay, get off my bus. Ding. I don't want you on here because it is not worth the hassle. Like, it will make your life suck. If you want to make your life suck, let your clients drive the bus, and you're going to be like, I hate being a mortgage broker. Like, it'll just be like, I hate this. And then, you know, it won't be any fun. Then you have to go work at Subway and make sandwiches or something. Okay. So wrap this call, this podcast up. So as I said, what the top brokers are doing first is they don't waste time on non-committed brokers. Remember, if they don't commit, you don't submit. Second, and commitment means they're going to let you do credit checks, they're going to get your documents. They don't do that. You're not working together. I don't care what you think. They're not. With your lenders, the lender is your client. Do their job for them as much as humanly possible. Ask them how you can help them and do it, make it easier, and you will get more files approved. Guess what? If you get more files approved, you're going to get more referrals. You're going to get more clients reaching back out to you going, wow, you got that done. So it actually will feed your business. And then finally, the third thing that top brokers do is they always drive the bus. They do not let the clients drive because they know they're terrible drivers and it's going to just be a mess. And ultimately, it is your fault because it's your bus. Hope you find that useful. Thank you for listening. As I always say, there's no problem in your mortgage business that someone else hasn't already solved. If you find this useful, please share it. Follow me on Instagram. I've been trying to work on my Instagram and putting some tips and tactics on there. Go check that out. And I will see you on the next show.